So I was coaching soccer, as you know, I coach soccer. And one particular game that we're playing, one of the girls was playing defense or fullback, just yelled at me, "Coach, I gotta come off." And so she comes running towards me. She goes, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe." And she wasn't in the play. The ball was up there, but she couldn't breathe. And I said, "Okay, just calm down." And she just kept hyperventilating, just breathe, like couldn't breathe, couldn't catch her breath. And it was just kind of weird. And so I said to her, I said, "Just look at me. Just look at me. Look in my eyes. Okay? Just look at me. Now breathe with me." And so I just led her through a little bit of breathing. Just watch my breathing. Just breathe with me. So I could just calm her down. She goes, "Okay, okay, I think I'm better." I said, "No, you're not. Stay with me here. Stay with me. Breathe." And so she just calmed right down. And I said, "You're good?" "Yeah, yeah, I'm good." So we waited until we could do another substitution. Went back into the game, and she was great the rest of the game. She was one of my better players. And it was good. Breathe. Breathe. Breathing. We all need to do it. It's life. But if our breathing is being challenged or even restricted, we panic because we need to breathe. When we are born, it is essential for us to breathe. We cry, and if not, the doctors or nurses do everything in their power to cause us to breathe. Right? In Ezekiel chapter 37, Cody, you have your Bible here? Ezekiel 37 is in the Old Testament. I know you know that. Ezekiel 37, I'm putting you on the spot. I want you to read 37, 1 to 14, because I know you have a loud voice, so that's great. It's an interesting passage. We're talking about breathing here. Ezekiel 37, 1 to 14. You got it? Okay, stand up and read it loud. Thank you.
"The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around me. There were very many lying in the valley. They were very dry. He said to me, 'Mortal, can these bones live?' I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will raise sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bones with bones. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds of breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost, and we are completely cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord."
What a prophetic word. Prophetic, not pathetic. Prophetic word. Thousands of years ago, we're seeing it alive now happening. But I want you to catch the main word in there, which is breath or breathe. Can you imagine Ezekiel going to this big valley, and all he sees, a big valley, is just bones? bones. And can you imagine him all of a sudden hearing them rattle? You know, that's kind of like a little bit scary, but they start to rattle and they come together. And then all of a sudden he's seeing all kinds of skin, muscles, and ligaments, and sinews, and all going there. But they just stood there. And it was the breath of God. Speak a prophetic message, dry bones. Listen to the word of the Lord. I will put breath into you, and you will come to life. He breathed into them, the breath of God into them. Breathe. Breathing in and out. Let's do that together. Breathe with me. In. Out. In. Out. It's a good exercise if you're ever panicking, if you're ever being anxious. Breathe. Breathe. So, why, Pastor, why are you calling us to breathe? Of all the things in the world to think about, why are you calling us to breathe? Well, let me ask. How was our past week? Don't answer me. Just think about it. How was your past week? How was your past month? What were we worried about this last week? What's been going on in our last month? Have we looked at the news this week, this morning? Are we worried about what's going to happen this coming week? Have we experienced any fear this week? Have we experienced any anxiety this week? Have we experienced any worry? Any depression? Are we feeling in our chest that it's not, that we're feeling like fright? Or are we feeling fight? Or are we feeling flee? In our chest, in our heart, what are we feeling like? That's why we need to breathe. It's time to breathe. In our relationship with God, we must breathe. How will we make it in life and circumstances and trouble? Last week I talked about preparing for the tough times and preparing for our tough times personally, not just as a church and as a world, but in our own lives. How do we do that? How do we thrive forward? We breathe. But why can we breathe? Exactly how Ryan has led us in worship. Exactly why we come together every Sunday morning to worship. Why do we sing? Because every 7 days, we need to be reminded that God is in charge. God is always on his throne. The scripture says, heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. How many of you have footstools in your home? I love footstools. Just put them up there. And it's not a demeaning thing. The footstools, we like footstools. They kind of help us relax a little bit. God loves his footstool of earth. That's how big God is. God is in control from eternity past to eternity future. He's in charge of everything. He's Almighty God. He's Yahweh. He's sovereign over the universe, even as it expands. We can't get it. How big God is. If you ever see any of the pictures of the universe, the new black holes, the new everything, the universe is ever expanding. It's ever growing. And it can't even fill up God. Whatever's going on in the universe, God is so much bigger. He's huge. Say huge. He's humongous. Humongous. As mortals, we can't figure out, we can't get it, we can't how big God is. But God is huge. He's so sovereign. He's Yahweh, he's Almighty God. He's got what's going on in this world. He's got everything. He's got it. And then he's got you and me. I don't believe what my mom said for years. God's got bigger things to worry about than me. That's what she believed for years. No. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them. This is Jesus' words. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. For my Father has given them to me, and he's more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. You and I are safe in the hands of God. No matter what is going on, no matter what hell is unleashed on earth, no matter what troubles and struggles are going on in our lives, we're in his hands. Isaiah says our names are inscribed on his hands. How do we breathe then? We breathe in and we breathe out. Let's go back into 1 Timothy. We talked about it last week. 1 Timothy, how do we breathe out? Maybe some of you have heard this, but it's called breath prayer, where you breathe praying out and you breathe praying in. I'm going to change it up a little bit for you. But let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. The Apostle Paul says to Timothy, and he says to the church, what's the first thing you should do? What's the most important thing you should do? First of all, I urge you to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf. Give thanks for them. Pray for people. Every morning I sit down as part of my quiet time and somebody comes to my mind. And I pray for them. I don't know what's necessarily going on. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But I'm praying for different people that come to my mind. We can do that. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf. Give thanks for them because God cares about them. Pray this way for kings and all that were in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives. Yeah, pray for our leaders, all our leaders at all different levels of government and leadership in our world. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. Pray. Chapter 2, verse 8. In every place of worship, this is a place of worship, where two or three gather together, it's a place of worship. I want men and women to pray with holy hands lifted up to God. I want men and women to pray. That's the first thing he's calling us. We must every day, often during the day, many times during the day, and certainly as we gather, to pray. To pray. To breathe out prayer, our words, our concerns, our requests, our worship. But then we go to 2 Timothy, chapter 3. He's Greek. He's born and raised in Greece. And he knows New Testament Greek, because he was a professor for many years and a pastor. He knows New Testament Greek very well. He often quotes different words than he's been. So we actually talked about this verse. We talked about God breathed. Do you know what it means in the New Testament Greek? The Bible is written in New Testament. Do you know what it means, what he said it means? Breathe. It actually means breathe. And as he was really grabbed by this, God had just grabbed him a couple of days earlier about that particular verse. He was just sharing with me. He goes, can you imagine that God is breathing into you? Into me, he says. Into me. As I'm reading God's word, God's actually breathing into me. It says, all scripture is God breathed. So when we read the scriptures, God is actually breathing into us. You get it? It's incredible. So we breathe out in prayer, and then as we're with God and we're listening to him or we're reading his word, he breathes into us. He encourages us. It's God breathe each morning. Each time during the day, we breathe in, we take in his word, we take in his concerns, we take in his requests, and his love. Each Sunday morning, at least when I'm speaking, you'll hear Tim's words. But the encouragement, and Tasso's really challenging me to challenge you, but are you hearing God's words into your hearts? Is God breathing his words into you beyond what I'm saying, or through maybe what I'm saying? But when you walk away from here in 15 minutes, are you gonna remember God's words to you? Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. This is fascinating. You have that up there? So Genesis 2, 7. God's creating Adam and Eve. And it says, then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils. I don't know. I know three firefighters here this morning. When you do mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, is it through their nose? Wow, okay, I know, but just stick with me. Whenever we're called to do mouth-to-mouth, it's through the mouth, and it's aggressive. You're trying to get air into the lungs. So what you need to do when they put a mask on you or anything for oxygen is through the mouth and the nose, but it's through the mouth. Why the nostrils? Now, I couldn't find the reason why, but I sat and thought about it and prayed about it, and I think if God was to breathe, can you imagine God breathing into you physically as you're having? Like, that would kind of, like, whoa! God is very gentle. And I think to breathe into the nostrils was gentle and was a little bit, you know, some of us have big mouths, so you get a lot of air in at one time. Yeah, I know some of us have big noses too, but if you think about God breathing in through a nostril, it's gentle. It's slower. And still allows then Adam to exhale in worship. To exhale in prayer. Interesting. And he became a living person. breathing out prayer, breathing in God's words. We need both actions of breathing. We need good air, oxygen coming in, and as you exhale, carbon dioxide and used oxygen comes through your blood cells, through your muscles, travels back to your heart, into your lungs, and out. That's how it works. Our lungs and breathing is like an air exchanger of sorts. And so our praying of praying out and listening in is like an exchanger of sorts. First of all, I urge you to pray for all people. And then he says, all scripture is inspired, is God breathed by God. To breathe. To breathe. So what do we do? To breathe. Every day. Breathe in and inhale God's word. God's word in your life. Every day. Spend time in His word, allowing you to breathe into your heart. That's what we need. We need God to breathe into us. And every day we breathe out, and maybe several times a day we breathe out in prayer. It's that natural of just breathing in and breathing out. Sometimes we need more. If you need to exert, whether you're going to lift some weights, whether you're going to go for a run, or you've got a heavy task to do, we will take big breaths. If you're going to go for a swim, you're going to take a big breath to get lost. You've got to get your heart and your muscles and your lungs and your brain oxygenated. So there's times where we need to pull in more oxygen. There's times when we need to pull in more of God's word into us so we can do what we're doing. Sometimes in our lives, we need more of God in that particular moment. And we do that. We breathe in, and then sometimes our prayers are pretty desperate, and we're breathing out a lot, saying, God, help me. God, I beg you. God, I need you. And it's all part of it. Sometimes our breathing becomes intense. If our lungs are not conditioned to breathe, it will be difficult to breathe. And that's why sometimes we need to, or we should be, developing our lungs, whether it's going for walks every day, developing our lungs, going for a run, growing our lungs. And the same thing with God, in His word and in prayer, of developing that in our lives, the practice of it, of learning how to breathe in God's word and to breathe out in prayer. Breathe, church. Breathe.